And our guest on this part of the program is Rebecca Labina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center. Hey, Rebecca.
Good morning, Barry.
And I'm not going to ask you whether it's hot out there. Everybody knows the answer to that. It's hot out there.
It's hot out there. Everywhere across the country, it's hot out there. Yeah.
And it's like we got a taste of Arizona. It moved our way. Now, we didn't get the benefit of the dry air. It's humid. It's crazy.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference.
Oh, my gosh. So, but we'll forget about that and talk about some other things. You're ready to talk about must-have policies to protect your small business. And we're not just talking about insurance policies. This is policies in the big sense.
Yes, yes, internal policies. While insurance policies are always good to have as well, and life insurance policies. But we're talking about internal business policies and generally, you know, like what is that and why do you care, you know, and why should you care? And so just to start off, what is a policy? So a policy is simply a rule or a guideline regarding a specific topic, such as a policy for working remotely, right? Is it allowed? Who gets to authorize such a situation, things like that. And so without a policy in place for a number of things, you're kind of flying by the seat of your pants, which is not a best practice for doing business.
It might be okay if it's just you, but if you have employees...
Right, absolutely. And even if you just plan to have employees, as you're growing from a single owner business and scaling up, you know, putting these policies into place sooner rather than later will help create the culture and the type of business that you really want to build.
Mm-hmm. So, for example, you say, okay, well, why bother? Why should I care about this?
Yes. So I always like to talk about the well, what do I care about that? You know, I don't need that. But you do need them because having a policy gives structure to a business, and it should reflect the values and culture that's desired for that business. And so putting policies into place that reflect your values is the easiest, actually, and best way to do that. It also helps to make, when you do have employees, it makes employees feel like they're treated fairly. If the policies are adhered to, right? You have a policy, you follow the policy. Everyone kind of knows what expectations are for them. If you don't have policies in place and you have employees, then it's like, again, it's almost like you mentioned like Arizona. So it's almost like the Wild West, right? So you don't want that when it comes to your business. You want employees to understand what is expected of them and in a number of ways. Another thing with having policies is it helps with decision making, because policies, again, they reflect the values and culture and they set expectations. So it helps with, if you know that this is the policy that we have and these are the values that we have, then it makes decision making a whole lot easier, because you just want to follow those guidelines. I mean, another word for policy is just, it's a rule, right? A rule or a guideline.
So would it be, when I think about something comes up at your business, it's maybe something you don't run into every day. And so you're having to make a decision. And you might make a decision that seems good at the moment, but if it's not a decision that matches the core values mm-hmm. of your business, which you've written down in this policy, mm-hmm. but you didn't consult at the moment, If you're not in coherence with that core decision, if you're not aligned with that core decision, you might regret that decision as you went along.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck, right? So your actions always speak louder than words. And so if you have a policy in place, but the actions that you're taking are not reflecting that in your decision-making, then your policy is worthless and people will not follow it then. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you adhere to those policies and show people by example that you are following the policies, that you mean it when you say we value X, Y, Z, and you know, those policies show that you reflect X, Y, Z, then you're doing yourself and your business and your employees a very good service by doing that. And policies, we hear policies and procedures all the time, almost interchangeable, but they're not the same thing. And so a policy states what a rule is, right? The rule or the guideline, but the procedure is how you actually implement the policy.
So, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's more like the policy is the goal, if you will, and the procedure is the tactics you use in order to reach that goal.
So you really have to have the policy first.
You do, absolutely you do. And then you can figure out, you know, what procedure you put into place to make sure that the policy is followed, what measures or, you know, other guidelines that need to be put into place.
Okay. So what if you've decided on a few policies that mm-hmm. seem to make sense to you? Should you reevaluate those occasionally and make sure that they didn't need to be changed?
Oh, yes, definitely. Policies, you know, one of the things that you want to make sure of is that you're complying with anything, you know, any legal standards that are out there or any changes in the law that occur. So you want to make sure that your policies reflect that. You certainly don't want policies that are considered illegal.
That makes sense.
It does make sense. It's very logical. Yeah. And so, you do want to do that. But typically, businesses actually look at their policies at least once a year. So, and that's a good rule of thumb. Businesses, whether they're big or small, to just, you know, put that on your schedule every year that we're going to review our policies and we're going to see if they're still in compliance with the laws and if they still reflect the values of our company or if there are changes that need to be made or additions, new policies that need to be put into place.
What are some policies that you really need to have? What are the things that are absolutely essential?
Right. So there's, you know, hundreds, maybe even thousands of policies that you could come up with. But basically, there's a dozen or less that I would say you really, really need to have. And so the first one is an ethics policy, just a guideline on, you know, being ethical, valuing integrity. Hopefully every business does that. But just having that written down and kind of stating it could be part of a code of conduct policy. The ethics policy could be part of that where you're just stating we expect all employees to comply with the law, to do things in an ethical manner and to do what's in the best interest of the business, maybe an anti-discrimination. All of that could fall under ethics or code of conduct. I'm kind of wrapped up all into one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would definitely start with that one for any business. Another one is if you have employees of any kind, an employee disciplinary action policy, you know, that states here's the general guideline of what, you know, not how we'll go through it step by step, but just a policy of what is expected of you. You know, you're expected to be on time and to do your work properly and stuff. And if you don't do that, then, you know, there could be X amount of disciplinary actions. And you always hear the words up to and including termination. So that's the policy. And then a procedure would be, you know, how many times they have to do that, who writes them up, what offenses are terminable and what are not. So that would be the procedure side of it versus the policy side.
Would another one be, say, how you handle time off or vacations and all of that?
Yeah, employee time off for sure. You know, how many days? What's the policy on how many days they accrue for vacation or receive for vacation versus sick time versus no time at all? What holidays are they off? Those kinds of things. Another one. Especially if you start to have multiple employees, you definitely should have, and this one is missing in a lot of companies, by the way, is employee fraternization policy.
Mm.
So what is your policy? Just your general guideline on employee fraternization. Even if your policy is that it's fine, just disclose it to us, you know, great. Or is your policy completely the opposite of that? Our policy is we don't want people fraternizing with who they work with. It just causes too many problems, you know. But one of the reasons that this is so important, is because of the legal ramifications down the line, should there be a sexual harassment claim or something like that. You want to make sure that you have something on paper in black and white that people are aware of, that this is our policy and we follow it.
Mm-hmm. When you say fraternization, I think that for most, I think most of us get that.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us understand that. But for some who maybe not, may not be totally familiar with the word, would it be, is it sort of like on the job romance kind of situation?
Yes, just
disclosing. Would it be a way to describe it?
Yeah, disclosing a relationship that has become romantic. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so and so that's.
As Barry and I blush off camera here.
Yeah, we're just like. Yeah, but you know, the thing is, it could be, you could be squeamish about this, or you could just face up to it and write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're done with it. I mean,
right.
Yeah, but you've got it on paper, and people can see it and read it and ask questions if they need to. But you've got to protect yourself legally, and you also want a happy workplace.
That's right. That's right. And it's just a matter of, again, it's like a rule that you have in place.
Right. These are the boundaries. This is how we operate.
This is how we do it, to protect the business and then also to make our employees happy and to understand the expectation.
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't you just want to minimize people getting different ideas about what's right and what's wrong. If you put it down on paper, there's less chance of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another I don't know how much time we have, Barry. Are we good to keep going?
No, we're good.
Okay. So another policy that I also see not that, – that people seem to skip over and don't have included is an inclement weather policy. And, you know, we live in a state where there are floods, there are tornadoes, there are massive storms, there are ice storms, there is snow.
Yep.
So we get the beauty of all four seasons and all of Mother Nature here. And so, but with that, there should be a policy that states, you know, when it's acceptable maybe to miss work or what will happen, like if there's more than, it could be anything. If there's more than 6 inches of, you know, if you can't get out of your driveway, call us, you know, or whatever, and it'll be fine or not, whatever the case is. But you need to have some type of policy. And with this particular one, with an inclement weather policy, you need to also have a procedure in place. Like, you know, are you closed automatically if the schools are closed? Like some daycares are like that. Some are not, but some do that. And or do you have a Facebook page that people need to check to see if, like, you know, maybe your business is one that is capable of opening late, you know, like you normally start at 8, but if, you know, we had severe weather, check our Facebook page and you'll see if we're going to open at 10 or 11 that day. And so employees know they don't need to come in until 10. And that gives, you know, the snowplows chance to clear off the streets and stuff a little longer before you have to go out into the weather.
Mm-hmm. So I can see where that would be a real hairball. I mean, you'd be, as an employer, once you, it sounds like it'd be fairly easy to do. Hey, the weather's bad. You know, use your common sense. Don't be driving when you're not feeling safe about it, et cetera, et cetera. But then you start defining, okay, how much ice is too icy?
It's too icy.
How much is this and how much is that? It can really get to be difficult.
Right. And so in certain things like that, it would be using common sense, because you never want to dictate to someone that they must come in, because – you know, heaven forbid they have an accident on the way in after they already told you that, you know, the roads that in the direction they're coming from are awful or something.
Yeah.
So you don't want to put yourself in a bad situation. But just having some type of guideline in place that says if you can't make it in, we do expect you to let us know in advance, you know, like reasonable advance, an hour or two, whatever. So just putting down those expectations onto paper. And whether or not it will be approved, you know, might be up to the supervisor at the time or what have you.
Are there any sort of like best practices guidelines that people could follow as a model?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's actually a format for writing policies. And we have templates at the Missouri Small Business Development Center in my office. We have some templates for policies as well that will help people to write them. But there's the format for writing them is actually called the 7 C's. So you've heard of like the 4 C's when it comes to diamonds, right? Mm-hmm. Cut, color, clarity, and carat.
Yeah.
I know my diamond C's. So, but when it comes to writing a policy, there's 7 C's to it. And again, a couple of these I think can be combined. But there's context, consistency, completeness, control, compliance, correctness, and clarity. Clarity, also one of the diamond ones. But so, yes, there is a format for writing these, and one of the things is to be consistent. Mm-hmm. And so you want to make sure that all of your policies follow the 7 C's and consistently are written in the same manner, and that you want to make sure that they're complete and clear so that people fully understand what's expected within the policy and that it's logical. That's actually part of the clarity piece, is that it is logical. People can understand it, and it seems like a reasonable policy.
Mm-hmm. And it has to be comprehensive also.
It does. It needs to be comprehensive so that it follows that completeness, that full scope of what is expected of an employee. And there's the compliance issue, like on the legal side of things, it also needs to be compliant.
Rebecca Labina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business Development Center is your guest on this part of the hotline this morning. Our topic this morning has been must-have policies to protect your small business. What are some others that you talked about, I really like the idea, the format mm-hmm. for writing a clear policy. But just to get back to that, the idea of having a clear policy, one of the things I thought about when you were talking about this, Rebecca, was that was an employee handbook. Like we've got one
yes.
here at Eagle Communications. Is an employee handbook a good idea?
Absolutely. I would say it's a necessity. You absolutely should have one if you have a single employee. And if you think it's not worth your time, you would be mistaken. Having policies is just like having an insurance policy. So policies set the expectations, the parameters that employees can go by. They can go back and look in the manual, the handbook, and see, what the expectations are for any different number of things. And so that way, one, they're less likely to have any concerns about stuff because they already know it's spelled out, what is acceptable and what's not. And then also when it comes to the culture of your business, as people read through policies, they can kind of get a sense of that as well. Absolutely. You must have, you really, really, they ought to make it a law. No, just kidding. But they really, you really need to make sure that you have an employee handbook if you have even just a single employee. And we can help you with that. It's not an arduous task. You don't have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars for someone to write one for you. We can certainly help you with that. And our services are at no charge. So.
Right. And that's an important thing for people to remember. But and also important is that you have access to so much material that in this vast network across the country where you can get best practices from different places.
Right.
And people could look at them and make comparisons. And why reinvent the wheel when somebody else has already done a good job of it? And you could look at it, and it's there for you to use yourself.
Yes. And, sometimes we can, the old saying, you don't know what you don't know. So, if you're going to do business in, say, California, California actually requires statements now that if you're going to utilize a third party vendor or something, that you're ensuring that they're not utilizing human trafficking as part of that sector. And so because they're very anti-human trafficking. Everyone is anti-human trafficking. Mm-hmm. But California actually has it now where if you want to do business with a lot of the companies out there, you have to have a policy in place that states that that's something that you're aware of and that you understand what human trafficking is and that you do, your due diligence to make sure that, if you're hiring out subcontractors or something, that they are not part of that human trafficking or labor trafficking workforce.
you would hate to be an individual business person here in the Midwest and in all good faith doing business with another company in California,
mm-hmm.
for example, or some other place like it, and unknowingly run across something like that, and you, there's nothing about you that would favor human trafficking, but just not if you weren't aware that that law was in place,
mm-hmm.
You could find yourself in trouble, and that's kind of scary. Is there a clearinghouse for this kind of information?
There are policies and best practices.
There you go.
So, yeah, going back to the policies, yeah, there are policies and best practices for the policies on what it is that you can do in order to ensure that you know that you've seen like their legal documents. They brought in their legal documents themselves. There's some stuff that you can do to ensure that. That to the best of your ability and within a reasonableness, you know, measure that you have actually tried to make sure that everyone is legit.
This is a broad topic and it's an important topic. And I may not have asked you all the questions I should have asked. What are some things, if any, that we still need to touch on?
So, yeah, just a couple more policies that I wanted to throw out there for people that we don't necessarily always see. The ones we do see usually are drug and alcohol policies. Those, of course, are good to have. It's pretty much assumed drugs and alcohol are not appropriate at work. You know, a smoking policy, does it include vaping, things like that? Is that a you know, what you want at work or not? A big one right now is using social media. Are you allowed to use it while at work? And then off work, what social media policies do you have about, is that person representing you when they are on their own time and writing their own stuff? So that gets really into the, you know, the legalese of, you know, free speech and things like that. But at the same time, if people, for example, I work for Northwest Missouri State University. So if I'm wearing my Northwest shirt while I'm out talking about something that goes against the policies and values of Northwest, even if it's on my own time, that would go against their policy because it looks like I'm representing them, even though I may not have been at the time, right?
Sure.
So
a reasonable person would look at you and say, hey, she's speaking for Northwest.
Right, exactly. And so those types of social media policies and representation type policies need to be in place. Another one is mobile phone policy. Are you allowed to use your mobile phone at work? That's pretty much everybody uses it at work. But I will tell you, I see people using it and you know they are not working.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about in like my work office, like when you go to convenience stores and things like that.
Absolutely.
You know, taking personal calls in front of other customers. If you have a policy that states, you know, not to do that, then, you know, then there can be a repercussion for that. But at least set the expectation, whatever your company's expectation is.
Anybody with further questions about this could call you at your office at?
Absolutely. 816-364-4105. That's my direct number. My office is located inside the St. Joseph Chamber of Commerce.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you.